in a game they lost by a touchdown.
Yeah.
And Cody Parkey is now the new kicker for the Tennessee Titans.
And is Carlos Santos on the practice squad for them yet? Yes, but Carlos Santos was the guy that John Fox thought was kicking for him almost all season. So I'm wondering if anyone's found Carlos Santos.
Hey, listen, I know you guys want to get out, but I want to ask you one quick question before you go, because we're going to have a lot of fun talking a lot of Bears and a lot of NFL, but we're also going to get into one of my favorite subjects, which is the Chicago Cubs in our second hour. I've got Mark Gonzalez coming on. I don't know how you guys feel about this, but I was somewhat despondent because I was led to believe by friends close to the situation that Joe Girardi was not on the Cubs' radar mm-hmm. the last couple weeks of the season. Now that I know he is interviewing today, this is like a kid who thinks he's been promised the one Christmas present he really wants and he's probably not going to get. And I'm a little frustrated by it. And apparently Rossi interviews tomorrow. We know they've already talked to Mark Loretta. We know Will Venable. I don't know if he's interviewed yet or not. That appears to be the four names that we're going to hear. To me, okay, do the four interviews and then hire Girardi because there's no contest here. Yeah. It doesn't appear that's where the arrow's pointing. I'm just wondering what you guys think of it.
I don't think so. I think Joe has done a lot. Girardi has done a lot of work to get himself out there as a manager that is willing to manage the way modern managers do. I don't think that the interior. Look, Theo Epstein and Brian Cashman go back. You know, I mean, they go back to competing against each other. They were friendly rivals, all that kind of stuff. He understands the way that Joe Girardi operates within a clubhouse and within a system. And I just don't see that being what they're looking for. Now, that said, I think, you know, I think it's going to be the Nerf gun that you saw on television, the Christmas gift, but your parents are going to be like, nah, there's going to be darts all over the house and you're going to put somebody's eye out with that thing. You can want it as much as you, I don't think it's coming.
Yeah, in my house it would have been, it's still a gun, but I don't want to get the gun activist angry.
And I'm wondering how different the paycheck would be as well for Girardi versus a David Ross and what level of deterrent that might be, also the managerial style, the working with the front office, and frankly, how much he would want to get paid, because that was certainly part of what ran, you know, Joe Maddon up out of here too.
Although, Anthony, here's the thing about that. I mean, Joe Girardi has put himself out there, and I'm not sure that if they were to consider him or offer him the job, that he could afford to say turn around and say, oh, well, it's not enough money, you know.
He's got a World Series ring. He can demand more than David Ross.
He can, of course he can, but I think he knows going into this interview today that the money probably isn't going to be what he wants it to be. And Connor, while I pretty much agree with exactly what you just said, it would be nice if they would add to the equation. He got four rings with Brian Cashman.
Absolutely true. He wasn't a bad. I just think the game has moved on from that type of dynamic. I guess from
at least the Cubs have, right?
I think so. And you look at the playoff teams right now. All of those teams have that similar dynamic.
Somebody's going to hire Bruce Bochy, won't they?
I would imagine. I would imagine.
Just not here, obviously.
Bruce Bochy's retiring, isn't he?
I didn't think he was. I thought he
announced his retirement at the end of the season.
We'll see.
But your point is still well taken, because we know somebody's going to hire Joe Maddon. The point is correct, but I just don't know if it's Bochy.
To the Girardi Bochy thing, too, I think it'll be interesting to see what happens in San Diego and what also happens in Philadelphia, because I kind of feel like it just feels to me like the Phillies are, they'll keep Gabe Kapler if Maddon takes the Angels job. And if he doesn't, then I think they'll keep things open and maybe move on. Joe may still take the Angels job, and then that leaves them, you know, kind of the team dancing around the musical chairs without one.
I hate to keep you guys long, but I have this sneaking suspicion, and I don't know why, that Joe Maddon ends up managing the New York Mets. He's been in the second biggest, well, Los Angeles. He's been in the third biggest market. He spent plenty of time with the Angels. He knows what's going on out there. Based on his Chicago experience, there's even more Italian restaurants in New York.
If he's going to do that, why don't he just go manage the White Sox?
Are the White Sox hiring?
Hey,
I don't think you can't do that to Ricky Ray.
Hey,
that's not fair.
They're not.
I'm not saying. I'm just saying.
Guys, I really appreciate you hanging out. Thanks for the great show today. We are going to get into the Lawrence Holmes experience here. That is Connor McKnight and, of course, Anthony Heron. Connor will be back tomorrow with Dan Bernstein. Anthony will be in tomorrow afternoon in the shift I'm taking here. He and Olin are going to fill in for Lawrence, who's got a couple days off. But right now, we are ready to go with the Lawrence Holmes show here at 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Tony, help me. Do we just keep going here? Do I have to take a break? I need a little guidance.
Let's play the open verse.
Let's go with that.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
There we go. Now it's official. Now it's the Lawrence Holmes Show. Unfortunately, guys, not unfortunately, fortunately for him, unfortunately for you, Lawrence has taken a couple days off. He is out today. I am Hub Arkish, going to be with you for the next couple hours. You're listening to WSCR and HD Chicago, WBMX HD2 Chicago, Sports Radio 670 The Score, a radio.com sports station. It is my pleasure to be with you all today. The top of the hour is brought to you by Northwestern Basketball. Join Northwestern Basketball at the new Welsh Ryan Arena this season. Home opponents include Michigan State, Michigan, and Illinois. Season tickets to see Chicago's Big Ten team are now on sale at nusports.com. It is really great to be with you all this afternoon. We are going to have a lot of fun, I promise. What I'd like to start with is your phone calls. Yeah, I do it with Connor and Dan on Fridays, but when I do get the opportunity to take these shifts and sit in a visit with you, my favorite thing about it is getting to visit with Chicago sports fans. So give us a call at 312-644-6767. You know that phone number, 312-644-6767. And we can talk Bears, we can talk NFL, we can talk Packers even if you want, but we're going to talk a lot of baseball as well. Bulls are back on the hard court. The Blackhawks are 0-1, but I'm not making too much of it because going to Prague is no easier than it is for an NFL team to go out and play in London. Hawks are coming home now to start a 7-game homestand. So we've got all four. This is that one window in the sports calendar where, unfortunately, even though the Cubs and the Sox are not involved, we have all four major sports in America going on at the same time. So your NFL talk, your baseball playoff talk, NBA, NHL, it's all on the board. Again, 312-644-6767 is the phone number. As I mentioned with Anthony and Connor, we're going to have Mark Gonzalez from the Tribune here at 1 o'clock to get into the Cubs managerial search a little bit. I thought we would spend this first hour with me visiting with you guys about the unfortunate trip to London over the weekend for the Chicago Bears, about what the Bears are doing during this bye week, about what they need to be focused on to be ready for the New Orleans Saints coming in here a week from Sunday. And by the way, the New Orleans Saints are the best team in the NFC right now. You know, it's funny with the Patriots, guys. Obviously undefeated. Obviously they're the Patriots. Obviously it's Bill Belichick. So, yeah, they're the best team in the NFL. They are the defending champions and they're undefeated. But they haven't played anybody. They haven't played anybody but Buffalo, who is much improved but has a non-existent offense and should have won that football game and probably would have, I think, if Josh Allen hadn't gotten concussed and gone out of the game with about 8-9 minutes left. But again, you know, shoulda, woulda, coulda, that's not the way it works. The Patriots are the best team in the NFL right now. I'm not sure how anybody's going to argue the Saints aren't second, and that's with Drew Brees on the sidelines. I really thought when Brees went down they would struggle. They are 3-0 under Teddy Bridgewater. They're doing it with a vastly improved defense. More of a you talk about the Bears wanting Mitch Trubisky to be a game manager. That's what Teddy Bridgewater's doing, although he did have 3 touchdown passes this past Sunday to beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So this game does not look quite as daunting on the schedule as it did in the summer without Drew Brees, but it will still be the stiffest test of the season for the Chicago Bears. That's what they've got 10 days to get ready for. So let's talk about it here on The Score. This hour is brought to you by Santana Energy Services. Visit SantanaEnergyServices.com. Once again, that phone number, 312-644-6767. And first up from Highland Park. Wait a minute, Max, I got to pull the phone over closer to me. Bear with me.
He's pulling the phone closer towards him.
All right, Max, you are on the line. I apologize for that. I only have 32-inch arms. Connors are apparently about 34 or 35. So we got you now. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Okay, so I got a question for you. The Bears offense has had so much hype. I love David Montgomery, one of my favorite players coming out of college in terms of the running backs and the draft class. How come we refuse to run out? We can't run outside of the tackles. We only run it up the cut and refuse to let our best playmakers get out in space, like having Tariq Cohen being a -5 yard screen pass just to get him out in space. what can we do to get the or to at least have Nagy throwing the ball and having our playmakers out in open space?
Well, Max, it's a great question, and the answer comes to the design of Matt Nagy's offense, which is the Bears' running game is basically a zone read concept with a whole lot of RPOs, run-pass options mixed in. And what that means is that as opposed to a power running game where you're going to pound a specific hole and possibly even have a double team in front of a back to open that, in the zone read, you're going to have a lot of shielding and masking, and you're going to tell that running back to get to the line and then read where the opening is. They are not trying so much to blow people off the ball as they are allowing the defensive players to run themselves out of the play and let the back pick the crease. The only real wide run action they have is on the jet sweep. When Matt puts in one of his fun plays, like they opened the season with each of the last 2 years with that full house backfield. But I don't think they have a standard sweep. I don't think they have an off-tackle slant or anything like that. I mean, they probably have it. Everything's in the playbook. It's just it's not the way that they run that offense. And the reason that it was so painful, watching Sunday, is the Raiders are the opposite. The Raiders, that's a power running game. That is a hat on a hat, sometimes a double team where you can get it, create the hole, blow the hole open, and have the back hit it going 100 miles an hour. So, in fairness, both schemes can work. Matt got that from Andy Reid and Doug Peterson in Kansas City, and they're making it work fairly well in Kansas City and Philadelphia, where it is actually working very well right now. It is interesting that Philadelphia, in their first two backs, have two completely different types of backs. They drafted Miles Sanders, who was the only back that we at Pro Football Weekly, ProFootballWeekly.com, you want the best draft stuff anywhere. I think we have it. It's our experts. It's not me. We had Miles Sanders, the number one back in the draft. We had David Montgomery tied, really, with Josh Jacobs at number two. So what the Eagles do is they draft Miles Sanders, but then they trade for Jordan Howard, and they're able to go either way. Jordan Howard is still a straight ahead between the tackles runner. They're not blocking it differently, but he's got that power to go inside. I like what I've seen of David Montgomery so far, but he has